Good evening. I'd like to welcome all of you here and thank you for attending this event. Today we have a great opportunity. This is an opportunity to get more of a background on Lieutenant Aaron Watada, the first commissioned officer to publicly refuse deployment to an illegal war. And this is also a great opportunity because we have some people who have come up from Hawaii to be here with you today, including the lieutenant's parents, as well as the retired colonel and diplomat, Ann Wright. This may also be the last time that we will be having a press conference prior to the deployment of the Stryker Brigade from Fort Lewis to Iraq. We don't know when this will happen. This may happen next week. And therefore, it is fortunate that we can be here to discuss this. If being a soldier is about putting yourself at risk to do what is right, then Lieutenant Aaron Watada is on the front lines in defending our Constitution from abuse. With us here are the lieutenant's parents. And we're going to begin with the lieutenant's mother, Carolyn Ho. So please welcome Carolyn. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. In the moments outside this room, I wondered what I would say to you. And I just like to say that my son, the person that he is today, is not the same person who entered the military 3 years ago. I think what we're seeing today is the miracle of consciousness evolving, and I am so, so proud of him. He has gone through a period of conflict, a period of self-doubt at times, and I know when he first made the announcement to me that he was going to refuse to deploy because of the illegality of the war, I was not totally prepared for that. The protective instinct kicked in, and I actually said to my son, please rethink what you're doing. You're going to ruin your life. And Aaron said to me later, he said, Mom, when you first said that to me, I felt really betrayed. I felt that you really discounted the process that I had gone through to make this decision. It's a matter of conscience, and I will follow through no matter what anyone says. And he said, if I can convince even one person to do what is right, then I will have done my best. And if no one agrees with me, and everyone puts me up to ridicule and abuse, I will still follow my conscience. I will even die for this. And I think that I have evolved as a parent in being able to accept that decision and to say, come what may, I honor that, I respect it, and I would not wish for anything else. And I guess I could go on and on about this, but all I can say is that I'm very proud of him. I'd like to ask you for your support. I think that what he is doing will galvanize the anti-war movement and to make a statement to the powers that be that we the people have the power to change history and that 1% of the population that represents the oil conglomerates and the rich who get richer can no longer mandate and determine our future. I'd like to invite you all on June 27th. It is a day of action throughout the country, and groups that are against this war and for peace will be standing up in various kinds of action on behalf of Aaron. They will be making statements through banners, through marching, through demonstrations. And I ask that you be in support of all our democratic institutions and our way of life. Because in the past number of years, we have seen a steady erosion of the rights of what makes America the country that it was. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carolyn Ho. Next, I would like to welcome Lieutenant Watada's father, Bob Watada. Bob Watada is the recently retired director of the Campaign Spending Commission in Hawaii. As the director, Watada became well known for relentlessly pursuing and exposing political corruption in Hawaii. So please, let's welcome Bob Watada.
First of all, let me thank you for being here today. Certainly important for us as parents to be here to support our son. Last week there was a letter to the editor that said something to the effect that the parents of Aaron Watada ought to be ashamed of themselves for raising a child such as Aaron. Not the case. I am very proud of Aaron. As parents, we're very proud of him. We taught him to obey the law. Particularly, we taught him that the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land, and everybody should obey that law, and that is exactly what he's doing. We taught him that he has to care for other human beings, other people on this planet, regardless of where they are. We didn't teach him to go kill children and kill the women of Iraq, and he's obeying that. What we've taught him, that it's wrong to be killing, needlessly killing people. And that's what he's following. We taught him to try to understand at every point in his life to make a decision about what is right and what is wrong. And he's chosen the hard course, but it's the right course, and we're very proud of him. And we're here to support him, and we're going to continue, as Carolyn said, particularly on June 27th, we're going to be here to make certain that everybody understands why we're here to support him. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob Watada. Next up, we will be hearing from Ann Wright. Ann Wright is a retired colonel, having spent a total of 29 years of service in the United States Army. Wright also spent 16 years working as a Foreign Service Officer for the U.S. State Department. In her service to the country, she has worked in areas such as Nicaragua, Grenada, Panama, Somalia, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. Wright received the State Department's Award for Heroism for her role in the evacuation of 2,500 people from the Civil War in Sierra Leone. In December of 2001, Wright helped reopen the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan. Wright was working as the Deputy Chief of Mission for the U.S. Embassy in Mongolia in March of 2003 when she resigned in protest against the pending war in Iraq. So please, let's welcome Ann Wright.
Good afternoon. It is with heavy heart that I'm here, heavy heart that the U.S. military may be taking action against a noble and principled officer of the U.S. military who is saying to the U.S. military and the United States government that the war in Iraq is an illegal war, and he refuses to take orders to go to an illegal war. This is a right that a military officer has, to disobey illegal orders, and to be ordered to an illegal war is something that people can stand up against. And as you can see, not many people do. We have one officer that's done it. We have 24 men that are in Canada who have done it. We have 10 people who have gone to jail, been imprisoned, who have said no to these illegal orders. Aaron will be the first officer that will say no. By the Nuremberg Principle, codified after World War II, when the United States of America executed Japanese and German military officers and civilians for going along with what the international community termed illegal wars. That's when it came to the front, that we as civilians and military have the obligation and responsibility to say no to a government that takes us into an illegal war, a war of aggression. And by the Nuremberg Principles, a war of aggression is called a war crime. So our country is, the Bush administration is committing war crimes. The country of Iraq did nothing to the United States of America. The Bush administration invaded and occupied a country that did nothing to the United States. And by the three principles of legal wars, one of which is if the United Nations Security Council will vote that the international community has to take military action against a threat to the international community, the Bush administration was unable to get the UN Security Council to vote for military operations on Iraq. Another one of the principles is that if there's an immediate or imminent danger to your country, the weapons of mass destruction were not imminent danger. In fact, there was an ongoing UN inspection to determine if there were weapons of mass destruction. But the Bush administration threw away that and said, we're going in anyway. And the third is to prevent a humanitarian disaster, such as a genocide taking place. And while there were the Saddam Hussein regime 10 years before had committed atrocities on its own people, it was not doing so at the time. In fact, the atrocities that were being committed on the people of Iraq were being committed by the international community, by the international sanctions that had been placed on the country. So in my opinion, and in fact I resigned my career as a diplomat because I firmly believe the United States, the Bush administration, has taken the country into a war crime, into an illegal war of aggression. I firmly support Lieutenant Ouattara's decision to refuse orders to deploy to Iraq. I think he is on firm, solid legal ground that he is disobeying an illegal order. We support him. Others support him, too, not just myself. A colleague in the diplomatic corps of the United Kingdom back in March of 2003, the same month that I resigned, she also resigned. She was the deputy legal counsel of the equivalent of the British State Department or the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. Her name is Elizabeth Willemshurst. And in her letter of resignation, she specifically states that the invasion and occupation of Iraq by the United States and the United Kingdom would be a war crime, as a war of aggression. And that was her legal opinion to the British government. The British government also threw away the legal opinions of its lawyers and went ahead, just as the Bush administration went ahead, to this illegal war. I think we all have a responsibility as citizens to support those in our government, particularly our military, who stand up. It's not easy to stand up. Having been in the military 29 years, I know the pressures that Lieutenant Ouattara is under. It is a very difficult thing to go against the organization. When I resigned from the State Department, that was very difficult. I had spent 16 years there. And it's hard to leave your colleagues. And I know Lieutenant Ouattara is having a difficult time leaving his colleagues, the people that he's trained with. But there are higher principles at stake. There are principles that will save one's conscience. I mean, it is an act of conscience that he's doing, but it will save his soul for going to war, to an illegal war, where you will be committing illegal acts, where you will be, in the name of the United States of America, be committing murder. These are things that people have to evaluate what they want to live with the rest of their lives. And Lieutenant Ouattara has said, I will not have on my conscience the murder of innocent men, women, and children. I will not participate in an illegal war of aggression, a war crime. I hope that all people of the United States will join us on June 27th when we do call for a national day of action to stand up for Lieutenant Watada. We have lots of organizations that have endorsed this. We have Global Exchange, Not in Our Name, the War Resisters League, Veterans for Peace, United for Peace and Justice, Code Pink, Women for Peace. Here in the Seattle area, we have the Seattle Draft and Military Counseling Center, Olympia Movement for Peace and Justice. We have the Central Committee for Conscientious Objectors. We have the Campus Anti-War Network. We have the Action Center for Justice. We have the Catalyst Project. We have cities that are participating: Seattle, Olympia, Tacoma, Charlotte, North Carolina, Cleveland, Ohio, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and San Francisco, California. And we hope that hundreds of cities all throughout America, cities and towns, will join with us in a day of protest against this illegal war and a day of conscience for people, citizens, and military to stand up to say no more to these wars. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Wright. Last, I would like to welcome LeGrand Jones. LeGrand Jones is one of Lieutenant Watada's local legal counsels and is representing the Jones and Farrell Law Firm. So please welcome LeGrand Jones.
First off, I'd just like to say I'm unbelievably honored to be sharing the platform with these people behind me. It's an amazing group. I feel I'm out of my element. As was said, I'm a local attorney. I work with the Jones and Farrell Law Group out of Olympia, Washington. Our offices are about 15 minutes away from Port Lewis, the main gates there. Lieutenant Watada's lead civilian counsel is Eric Seitz of Honolulu, Hawaii, who was unable to be here tonight. However, I did have a teleconference with him earlier today. He's successfully been working on these types of cases for many years. I'd say over 10, but I'm not exactly sure how much over. As his legal representatives, we remain hopeful that a meeting of the minds may occur in Lieutenant Watada's case. However, if such a resolution is not to be, we stand ready, willing, and able to defend Lieutenant Watada in this fight. He has made a principled, moral, and painstaking decision. The litigation and consequences that may or may not come as a result of his stance here are largely dependent on the willingness of the Army to recognize the integrity and courage of this officer and the honor that such selfless action brings to their ranks. As for the current status of legal proceedings, no charges have been brought against Lieutenant Watada. He has been advised by his command that he's currently under an administrative investigation for his public statements that he refuses to stop making. And as a result of this investigation, he has been provided military counsel through the Judge Advocate General's office. Lieutenant Watada was provided with a written directive from his command dated June 6, 2006, which I believe has previously been released to the public and to the press, and he has fulfilled his obligations under this directive. Thanks.
We're going to be opening it up for questions and answers. As mentioned before, June 27th, is a call for a national day of action in support of Lieutenant Aaron Watada, who is standing in the front lines in defending the Constitution of the United States. And people around the country will be there to stand up on his behalf to defend him as he defends us. And now we're going to open it up to Q&A. We have an expert here who can talk to you about the illegality of the war, as well as people who can attest to the background of the lieutenant. And so I'd like to ask them to stand up and come forwards, and we'll be available to answer your questions. Are there any takers?
How do you anticipate it will go for you on the day your unit actually ships out? What are you planning to do? Where are you planning to be?
I made it pretty explicit to my chain of command that I will not make the day in which soldiers will be partying with their families a media affair. I told them that I respect the fact that many of these soldiers who have made the decision to go over to Iraq will have that one final day with their family. And so I will report in on that day that I will deploy, and I will remain with the unit and not board the plane.
Yeah, I mean, you'll stop short of getting on the bus to go to the tarmac?
Correct.
And at that point, do you expect to be placed under arrest? Will you be going away at that point, technically? How does that work, and what happens to you? Is there anything?
I'm not sure at that time. My chain of command has assured me that I will not be arrested, but they will write up formal charges on that day.
As that day grows near, what changes? What is developing in your mind? How is each day changing as the day of your unit's appointment growing near?
I feel that I'm as resolute as ever. I have no regrets in the decision that I've made.
What will you say to them on that last day?
To whom?
Your unit.
I will say that good luck to all of you, and come back home safe.
What kind of reaction have you had from your fellow soldiers in the unit?
Certainly the day after I made my public statement, there was a lot of hostility towards me, not overt, but indirect. I received numerous hate emails, but surprisingly, I received a lot of letters of support from members of the military of all ranks. Certain members of my unit and others not of my unit have approached me on post and have shaken my hand. One non-commissioned officer also said that I agree with what you're saying, and to just stay strong, keep your head up.
What would you say you've changed since you first enlisted? Your mom had kind of referred to that.
I think I really found out what it means to sacrifice for your country, to know what it means to fight for your country, for your people, and for democracy, and really what it means when I took that oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies.
Could you clarify your views about the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan and how they differ, and what's your position on the war in Afghanistan?
I have been ordered to deploy to Iraq, so that's pretty much the war that I've been evaluating the legality on whether what we're doing over there is legal, and also the war itself, is it legal or not. And I've made that determination that the Iraq war is a war of aggression, and therefore it's illegal under international and domestic American law. And also the conduct of coalition forces, and also the conduct of the coalition-trained Iraqi security forces are violations, gross violations of international and domestic law.
You make sound of it as a very technical decision, but it's a lot more than that. You talk about the legality, mm-hmm. that's technical. What about philosophical, emotional?
Certainly, it was a very moral choice that I made. I saw that this war was founded on deception and illegalities. And because nobody was willing to step up, the people that we as soldiers usually believe should work on our behalf, the politicians and the people, I felt were not doing enough to stand up and say no to the illegality of this war and the continued violations of the law by this administration. And I felt that it was time for somebody who wouldn't normally stand up to speak out on behalf of the people of this nation and behalf of the soldiers.
And why did you go to the Army, and are those reasons still true?
It's the same reasons. I joined the Army out of duty, patriotism, and willingness to serve, and I do that today.
Are there other questions? We also have the Lieutenant's parents here, as well as Anne Wright, who can also tell you about the illegality of the war, the technical issues around the war in Iraq, as well as tell you about the Lieutenant's background. Okay. I'd like to remind you that June 27th is a National Day of Action in support of Lieutenant Aaron Watada. You can find out more information. I believe you have some information with you in the press packet. As well, the website will give an update soon on actions around the country in support of the lieutenant. We don't know exactly when he will be deployed, or he will be when his striker brigade will be deployed from Fort Lewis. But we will be having actions in support of him on June 27th. Additionally, Laurel Albina is present here, who can give you one-on-one interviews with his parents and also with Ann Wright. If you're interested in interviews with them, then please speak with Laurel Albina, who's in the back right over there. I'd like to thank you for attending this press conference. Again, we don't know what will happen to the lieutenant, but we are here in support of him, all of us, and we will continue to support him regardless of what might happen to him. And with that, I'd like to thank you. The website is www.thankyoult.org, and you can go to that website and find out more information as well as upcoming events that will be happening around the country on June 27th. Thank you.